Back in 2020, when the coronavirus pandemic spread across the world, a growing need was felt among investors to invest in responsible companies. As a result, from just two ESG-based funds in India at the beginning of 2020, the number grew to eight by the end of that year. Post-pandemic, environmental, social, and corporate governance issues have moved from the sidelines to the mainstream of the investment industry over the past 2 years. However, with the pandemic gone, investors are back to focusing on funds that give high returns, ESG or no ESG. After six new fund offers in 2020 and one in 2021, no new fund has been launched in India based on the ESG factor since March 2021. Markets regulator SEBI, meanwhile, recently made it mandatory for listed companies to make their ESG performance public. At the same time, it introduced a new category of mutual funds called the ESG category, allowing funds to launch more than just one ESG fund. So can SEBI's push revive the fortune of ESG funds? Hi, I'm Abhinav Kaul, and today we have with us Kaustubh Belapurkar, who is the Director, Manager Research at Morningstar Investment Advisor India. In this podcast, Kaustubh will discuss how ESG investing differs from traditional investment approaches, what role does regulation play in shaping ESG investing practices, and the potential benefits of integrating ESG factors into investment decision making. Let's listen in.
Hello, Kaustubh. Welcome to Simply Save Podcast.
Hi, Abhinav. Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure.
So, environmental, social, and corporate governance issues have moved from the sidelines to the mainstream of the investment industry over the past few years. So, if you could provide a brief overview of what ESG investing entails and how it differs from traditional investment approaches.
So, I think, it's a very interesting time to have this conversation. And let me just lay some context about, typically when we think about ESG investing, it's interchangeably used with the overarching concept of sustainable investing. And let me explain to you how, ESG fits within the whole, guardrails of sustainable investing. So what is sustainable investing, right? So it's kind of a long-term approach that incorporates environmental, social, and governance factors in the investment process, right? And now there are various sort of approaches, as we may call them, to sustainable investing, ESG being one of them, right? So let me just very briefly outline what some of these are, right? So when, the whole concept of sustainable investing became popular maybe about 15, 20 years ago, it was really more norms-based or, values-based investing, right? More like an exclusionary screening. So if you think about it, if, you have certain values as an investor that you want to express through your investments, say, for instance, you want to stay away from tobacco, alcohol, gambling companies, you would exclude them from your investment universe altogether. That was kind of the roots of where sustainable investing started in terms of exclusionary screening based on certain values and norms that you had, right? Then, the media or, the evolution that came to the more inclusionary sort of investing, and that's where ESG investing became, very, very mainstream, where we think about ESG integration, right? Where we think about the environmental, social, and governance factors that a company is exposed to. We may call them risks or, sort of elements that it's exposed to on the ESG factors. And, how is a company sort of managing some of those risks, right? So that's where ESG integration came to the fore. And obviously in India, that's where a lot of the, funds apply themselves. And we'll talk about that a little later. But essentially, that's where a fund manager, you asked about what is the traditional form of investing and how is it different. You're beyond the fundamental analysis that any analyst or a fund manager would do in terms of, the profit and loss, the balance sheet, and, all of that, also incorporating some bit of corporate governance into the analysis. ESG investing, an analyst would consider the environmental, social, and governance risks that a company is exposed to and what are they doing to manage them. And, what could potentially be the impact of, some of these risks blow up, right? So that's where ESG integration sort of came into the fore. And then there are various aspects of that, in terms of picking the best in class companies within sectors. And there's more factor in thematic based investing. The third bit, which is more, popular overseas and in India, it's still some way away, where we think about active ownership and impact based investing, right? Which is like the third leg of, the more evolved bit of where, not only are you trying to assess what are the risks that a company is exposed to from ESG factors, but how can you as an investor or an asset manager play an active role in nudging companies and making impact through the investments that you make, right? So getting companies to move to a low carbon economy or, better labor standards and things like that. So you're kind of voting through your and nudging companies to have more sustainable practices incorporated into their overall sort of management framework. So I think that's kind of broadly when you think about ESG investing. Like I said, it's evolved over time. Obviously right now, locally, the most core part of it remains ESG integration, acknowledgement of ESG factors and risks while assessing a company.
Right. So why do you think ESG investing is important in today's financial landscape?
I think a very important question, Abhinav, because when we think about, especially from a local context, governance has always been, kind of being looked at quite closely by asset managers. And we've seen in the past if governance issues which go unresolved can kind of result in, massive destruction of shareholder values due to poor governance standards. So that's always been kind of in the eye line of investors, right? But remember that there are also environmental and social risks that each company is exposed to. Now, obviously, when you think about different companies within different sectors with different business models would have varying elements of ESG risks. But the point being that there are risks that each company would be exposed to, and it's important to kind of understand what those risks are and B, what is the company doing to address them? Because if they're unaddressed, they could cause a significant financial impact to the company in terms of loss of business, loss of brand value, or regulatory actions and fines. It could be a mix of these, which will eventually hit the financials of the company, right? So let me maybe just share some examples that we've seen in the past, especially on environmental and social aspects, right? So in the environment, if you remember, you had this whole, British Petroleum, Gulf of Mexico, where they had this huge oil spill, which resulted in massive fines. The stock took a beating. So all of that, was because of unaddressed environmental risks in the way they were managing the exposure to the environmental risks that they had as a company in their operating model. And, they probably didn't have enough foolproof, things in place to take care of any of these risks that could emanate, right? When we think about the social aspects of things, and your most prominent one would be, say, in, labor standards, right, that a company follows. Now, it's not just for the company, it could also be for suppliers to the company that could eventually have an impact on the company. So classic case, a few years ago we had this huge unrest with a car manufacturer where one of their production plants was shut down, right? So that's a social issue that can come. So if it was unaddressed, which it was at that point of time, cause significant sort of impact on the company's production and hence their revenues and the profitability, right? So I think these are the things that are very important which were probably not spoken about much in the past, what are those ESG risks that a company can potentially be exposed to. And like I said, different companies will have varying levels of ESG, but it's important to acknowledge what are those. What could be the impact on the financials of the company, and what is the management, more importantly, what's the management doing to address those issues or at least reduce the risk that, you can't do away with the risk completely, right? But you can take steps to reduce that risk. And that's what I think, in asset managers look at that, especially on the G side. So one is obviously the corporate governance, how good a job, the management is doing in the running of the company, but also in terms of, are they looking at managing some of the ESG risks? That also becomes a very important factor for asset managers to look out for when they think about the governance aspect of companies.
Right. So what type of investors are typically drawn towards ESG investing? Also, are there any specific demographics or institutions that are drawn to these strategies?
To be honest, I think the biggest market for ESG right now is Europe, and by far the largest market. They were the earliest movers, so to speak, in terms of ESG, and that is largely driven by some of the asset owners. So your sovereign wealth funds, your institutional owners, pension funds or insurance companies. They were really the pioneers or really the first movers, so to speak, when we think about ESG investing. I think the US is still far behind the Europe, but they're probably the second largest market, and the rest of the world is still kind of really evolving, and India also being a part of it, right? So European investors are, I would say far ahead of the curve in terms of, acceptance of ESG investing. In fact, we have some data that we look at global ESG fund flows, and about 84% of the assets. So global assets in ESG funds is about $2.5 trillion, right? Pretty significant amount of money. About 84% of that is actually from the European investors and about 11-odd% from the US and the remaining from the rest of the world, right? So like I was saying, a much smaller part of the overall pie, but obviously it's growing in countries like Australia and Japan and you know, certain parts of Southeast Asia. So I think in terms of demographic, and there have been, you know, various other studies done, so obviously geographic, you know, Europe is the primary driver, but I think the millennials are getting more and more interested in understanding the nuances of this and investing, you know, in funds with an ESG lens, you know, which would kind of, you know, help them, you know, in the future. And I think that's really the endeavor from the more younger investors, so to speak. It started with, like I said, the institutional investors, you know, the large asset owners, but now even retail investors, especially in Europe, are getting fairly interested in looking at, you know, various forms of sustainable investing.
Then, Kaustubh, why is India lagging behind? Because if we see the trend after the post-COVID push, a lot of funds went into ESG funds, new funds came up. The AUM has dropped off over the past 1 year. Even there are no new launches. Why this ESG investing is lagging in India? What is missing?
Yeah, so I think one is, I think we as a country, I mean, just mutual fund investments, I think we still, you know, we're still in an evolving stage, right? So while the assets have grown significantly, you know, it is still, I would say, at an evolving stage. I mean, it's still, you know, we talk about the potential for growth. The potential for growth is huge. We're still underpenetrated as a mutual fund market itself, right? So when I just think about participation of retail investors in funds and thus ESG. So obviously, you know, to your question, there are two parts to it. When I think about it from a retail investors or participation in funds perspective, yes, you're right. I mean, India is still, it's only a drop in the ocean. And that's because, like I said, you know, the market itself is evolving in terms of, you know, the funds industry. So ESG from an investor's perspective is still probably way down the line thinking about, you know, how should I be making investments, you know, which are more sustainable, you know, with that lens on, right? So, but I think it'll come down the line as more and more awareness gets built. But the other part to it, right? What are the asset managers and the regulators doing? I think there's a lot of things actually happening already. I mean, for not just now, but for many, many years. For instance, a lot of the, you know, asset managers that manage money locally, but also have international mandates have actually been using, you know, what we spoke about ESG integration or using these, acknowledging the ESG risks and see how it impacts a company. They've been using it for a fairly reasonable amount of time in their evaluation of the stocks they want to buy in their portfolios. Because obviously they understand and acknowledge the financial risk that these factors can bring in. And also because there's been, you know, when they're looking to serve mandates from, say, European institutional investors, you know, the institutional investor there would, given their lens on ESG, would want to know how a local Indian asset manager is looking at some of these. And that's why the AMCs are actually reasonably well ahead on the curve in terms of, you know, looking at ESG factors, not just on governance, but environmental and social also, and integrating that into, in some form, into the investment processes, right? Obviously, there's more work to do, but that's happening. I think on the regulatory side too, you know, SEBI's obviously been coming out with a lot of consultation papers and regulations. And that's a good thing because they're trying to set the kind of house in order.
So you talked about SEBI. The regulator recently made it mandatory for listed companies to make their ESG performance public. Also, at the same time, it introduced a new category of mutual funds, allowing funds to launch more than just one ESG fund. Right. So will this, and if yes, how will this boost ESG investing in India?
Yeah. So again, two parts to it, right? So one is the disclosures from corporates, you know, which I was just briefly alluding to in my previous conversation, that the greater the disclosures, the easier it is for investors, asset managers to make their assessment as to what a company is doing. You know, what are their aspirations in terms of, you know, moving towards more sort of sustainable goals for themselves, right? It could be the environmental, social or governance side of things, right? That is one. So one is disclosures from the corporates. But then as corporates become more and more cognizant of that, you know, hey, these are risks that we need to, they exist within our business model. How do we, A, find out which are those important risks? How do we address them by policies? You know, it could be, like I said, labor standards, you know, on the social side, you know, governance, having just greater oversight in terms of how do you want to build an ESG policy or board structures and things like that. So I think all of that will help corporates also move in or steer themselves in the right direction in terms of building more sustainable business models, right? So all of that is going to only aid better, more sustainable business models and better decision making from investors, because there's greater disclosures coming to them with and obviously SEBI is also mandated there should be some core criteria that they need to have an assurance given on, which is in the consultation paper, which will then give greater comfort to the investors that, that the company is really truly working towards, improving on those parameters, right? So I think that's definitely going to be a huge positive when it comes to kind of, the way we are moving forward in terms of regulations. The second bit, in terms of what you spoke about, the various fund categories, and, just going back to when I set the context for sustainable investing, that's exactly the way it is, right? The various approaches that exist for investors to look at. So if I'm purely an investor who's got certain values, who just wants to exclude certain kinds of companies, there's a category of funds that would appeal to them as and when they're launched, obviously, which would say like, exclude tobacco, gambling, alcohol stocks, any of these other so-called sin stocks. Then you could have your ESG integration or best in class, where you're looking at, say, best in class leaders within a certain sector, which are doing a great job of managing their ESG risks. And then the last leg, which I spoke about, which I think we're still some ways down the line in terms of impact investing, where you're saying that I am going to be, as an active owner of a company's share, I'm going to be working with the company for them to frame policies to reduce, say, the carbon footprint and things of that, where you're actually kind of voting with your investment rupees to push companies to be more sustainable. So I think all of these, as the market evolves, you will see funds within all of these pockets. So, for instance, there are already several such, categories available in a market like Europe, which is the leader in sustainable investing. It's still some ways down the line, but I think the framework has been put in place in advance, which is a good thing, so that investors also have very good clarity as to, what each kind of fund would look to do. But obviously, a lot more needs to be done in terms of investor education, like I said, because, right now we're still trying to get people to invest in funds. So I think sustainable funds is probably somewhere down the line.
Right. Talking about criticism, in the past, it has been said that there's no parity on the ESG factors that funds employ. So let's take an example of one company, ITC, and it might have a tobacco business, but on the other hand, ESG compliant businesses such as hotels. Mm-hmm. So it might find a place in one fund, it might not find a place in another fund. So how do you address this disparity between the parameters?
Yeah, so that's a very fair and a valid argument. But I think one thing is that ESG, and that's why I think these categories will be very helpful, because ESG is often a very misunderstood concept. ESG only purely means doing good, right? Impact investing, like I spoke about, is definitely exactly that, where you're, because when I think about the most popular form of ESG investing, especially from the Indian funds, we have about a dozen funds that are there right now, is largely ESG integration, where we're thinking more about what are the environmental, social, governance risks that a company is exposed to, and is it doing a good job of reducing the risk through its management policies or not? Because if it doesn't, then there can be a financial impact on the company, right? So the integration is really looking at it from a financial implication lens, not necessarily from saying that I want to do good. That's not the kind of eventual desire, more about that could be a result, yes. But, the factor from the investor's perspective is that, look, I want to find companies that are less exposed to ESG risk, right, on the ESG integration side. Obviously, if you apply some of the exclusionary screenings that I spoke about, companies like that might get weeded out. But I think from an investor's perspective, once you have all these categories in place, then, there'll be adequate disclosures and clarity that, yes, if I want to avoid certain companies, like the sin stocks, then I can look at, a fund that would typically do an exclusionary screening with something, some other parameters. Or I, if I want to do an impact-based investing where I really, really want to, drive a net, zero sort of a carbon economy, then I'll invest in, funds that purely drive and look at companies in that sort of space. So I think that will evolve. But yes, right now, I completely see where you come from, that because it's such a diverse sort of topic, often leads to some sort of, confusion in the minds of investors that, how do you find, see, an alcohol company or, an oil and gas company in an ESG fund. But remember, most of them are ESG integration. So we're looking at companies that are looking to transition to maybe, you know, lesser impact of fossil fuels or cleaner technology. But it doesn't mean that they'll completely do away with the existing business line. But, you know, reducing their overall ESG risk is what the company is looking to do. And that hence they would form a part of some of those sort of funds.
So my last question is, what advice would you give to individual investors looking to incorporate ESG considerations into their investment portfolios? And I ask this question because from the advice perspective, it is said that the normal funds, large cap, mid cap funds, already incorporate ESG parameters into their decision making. So there's no point of having a separate ESG funds. So how would you address that in terms of advice?
Again, I think great question because, you know, that's a, you know, what do investors do, right? So I think the first thing an investor should ask himself or herself is that what is their intended objective when they're thinking about this whole sustainable investing framework? And again, I'll go back to that same point that do you have certain values that you believe in and you want to focus on that? Are you just looking to reduce your ESG risks? You know, which is the middle level of ESG integration, or are you looking to make a positive impact in terms of, you know, addressing climate change and you know, things like that, right? So I think that's the first question that an investor needs to ask, you know, himself or herself. And more importantly, and what you alluded to, it's not happening right now all across the board, right? That right now it's, you have this bunch of sustainable funds, which I said are more ESG integration, and the rest of the funds, some managers might be doing it, maybe some are not, right? But if you want to have an ESG lens, then you would want to look at the underlying ESG disclosures or scores of each of these funds to look at, you know, which are the ones which are more sustainable in their investment mandate, right? And I think going ahead, what's going to happen is that more and more asset managers will, you know, use that as, along with the financial assessment framework, they will use the ESG framework in conjunction. And then it'll become that all funds will have an ESG lens like you were alluding to. Right now, it's not necessarily the case. Some are doing it in a certain fashion, some are doing it in a much more evolved fashion because it's still an evolving scenario, especially locally. But I think from an investor's perspective, you can, given all the disclosures that in fact SEBI's mandated, at least with the sustainable funds, you can go ahead and look at some of the scoring that are done for those and figure out, you know, who are actually looking at it through an ESG integration framework and not. So I think that's at least available from a local investor's perspective even today.
Thank you for talking to us and explaining the complexities around ESG investing in detail for our listeners.
Thank you so much, Abhinav. And it's, you know, I think it's an ongoing conversation. There's going to be a lot more developments around that. So, you know, hope to chat again in the future. But thanks for your time.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.